I'm going to go fuck around in the city.
Yeah.
Which I know you do. Everywhere I go, they're like, yo, Bert came out with all of us.
Oh.
Did you ever wake up in a place you didn't belong?
Yeah.
All the time.
I woke up in a barn one time.
Dude, I like the way you said, yeah. You were like, yeah, that's my thing.
A lot.
I wake up a lot in places I'm not supposed to be.
100%.
Hey, guys. New episode of Two Bears, One Cave, and we've got Whitney Cummings.
You look really
You look great, Whitney.
You look really skinny.
You look great. And your name of your special is Jokes? Mm-hmm. Okay. On Netflix?
What was that
judgment? No, I'm just trying to promote it.
I didn't
make fun of it. Andrew. Andrew said he was not
No,
a fan.
I did.
What's wrong with the title?
No, it's a terrible title.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
What?
Comedy. What are you, Mark Norman?
Comedy. Hey, I'm Whitney. Check out my special. Comedy.
Under pressure.
No, I want you to call it Bird Equanimity and the Hollow, whatever the fuck Chappelle's nine title special was. No, you should have just called it In Recovery.
Why?
Because you are kind of. You're always kind of recovering from something. Trauma, touring, relationships. What's in the special?
Who would click jokes?
Yeah, good jokes.
All right.
One of the jokes.
It's a good name. No, you complain about your pussy. You complain about your pussy.
I'm familiar about how comedy works. I'm not a rich person complaining about gas prices like a fucking
You have so much more money than me. You're so fucking rich.
How much
rich.
More money do you think
she
you
has
than,
so
than
much
Andrew.
More fucking money.
A lot.
She's so rich.
What?
So rich. Give me some.
It's so, everyone thinks I have so much money, but I
Someone told me how much money they thought you had the other day. And here,
Who
sit down in Saul Alston's chair. Sit down in Alston's chair so we can hear you.
Okay, sorry.
I'm just curious, who told you?
I forget. It must have been when you were here. It must have been someone that was here when you were here.
Is it someone that would know?
No, I guessed.
Okay.
I guessed.
What did you guess? 50?
No.
More?
I guessed, I'm confused on what I guessed and what someone else guessed. So someone else said 16, and I went way more
No,
than that.
Way more than that. Way oh, my God. That. It's so much more than that. Look at her smirk.
I was like,
dude,
I was
Whitney's
like,
got 16 in one of her like side accounts. And she's
say,
like, we still have money in there?
I would say.
Didn't we move that money out years ago?
You know how rich I am, you guys? I did recently have 2 Starbucks gift cards in my wallet, and I didn't know how much money was on them.
Whoa.
And how much was on them?
Put them in the trash can. Don't know.
Dick.
It's not even worth it.
It was. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw these out.
Here's
and I was
a question.
Like, I'm so rich.
Here's a question I asked Rogan one time. What's it like to have legit fuck you money?
Yeah, he does.
I don't have Rogan. I don't.
I know. But you have the kind of money where you don't have to worry about a ton of things.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you. You have way. You.
No. No,
I'm just saying I have lots of curveballs in my family. So the amount of money I don't have an amount of money even where I'm like, okay, I'm good forever if everything goes away right now. Like, because what if my family goes into ICU again without health insurance?
You have screw you money, not fuck you money. You have like you can't really burn the bridge, but you can be like, get out of here.
But how would your life, what if we just switch bank accounts right now? How would your life change?
Quit comedy, leave LA.
Leave Leanne, leave the girls.
Go away.
My entire world goes upside down.
Yeah.
Like fucking leave my family. Don't talk to anybody ever again.
I've actually toyed with the idea. I've actually wondered how much money you have and to see if I left Leanne, I lose all my money. And I was like, could I just parallel and slide adjacently into Whitney's life and then she take care of the both of us?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. This is interesting.
So how much money, I'm just at, do you think if right now someone says how much money to make you quit right now and be happy forever? What's the actual number?
75 grand.
75 grand. 75 grand.
Get me 75K.
Do you even know the number that would make you happy? Because every time you get
No, first of all, you're interjecting a word that doesn't, I'm never going to be happy. I'm not going to be happy. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, how much to like make me leave LA?
How much to make you stop talking right now? I will Venmo you.
I will Venmo.
Everybody right now, go to Netflix and please watch Whitney do special jokes. It's incredible. I've seen her do the whole thing. It's packed front to back the same way she wipes with some of the best material I've ever seen her do. Is that good? That's a great fucking plug and I mean it.
And by the way, that's true.
And I mean it. So is that nice now? Will you stop being fucking mean to me?
I'm really
Can I tell you one of the jokes? You have jokes in there that I have been that I've been toying with in my head where I go, I couldn't figure it out. I was obsessed with Rover Red Rover. I was obsessed with it because I was like, there's got to be an adult league. Where it's just like fucking dudes going, let's fucking go.
Bring Brian the fuck over.
Just get fucking elbowed out.
I would love to see an adult Rover Red Rover.
Are you not
league.
In an adult league of any kind of sport at all?
No, I don't do anything.
Why
are you leaving, Whitney?
Well, I'm just going to like.
I love you. I love you.
So much.
I love you more.
Bye. Honestly, dude, how are you not in an adult league in anything? You're Mr. Sports. Like, why wouldn't you join?
I don't have time.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't have any time.
But you know what you can do? Like, I'm in one thing now.
What?
I'm in a volleyball league. It's so much fun. And I just show up once every 7 games.
Beach volleyball?
No, it's on like a nice grass court. It's really nice. Really? Yeah. And I show up like once every 4 or 5 games. I'm like, hey, man, I don't have a show at 6 o'clock tonight. I can show up. My God. When I was in my 20s, I played 16-inch softball. No glove, Chicago style.
What?
That's the best.
We used to call it smush ball.
Smush ball? No glove?
No glove, smush ball. And it was, you hit it and it would go, it would like smush. And so it was really, it was heavier too. So
but it was 16. It was the big one.
It was
right?
The big one. Big one. Yeah. No glove.
No glove. Dude, it was great. I love it.
You've always been into those types of things. First of all, I'll tell you, number one, I have social anxiety disorder in a little bit where I don't want to go into a group and go, hey guys, I'm Bert. Can I play? Like, It gives me anxiety.
Yeah, but at this stage in your life, everyone would be like, Bert? Yeah? They'd lose their mind.
Yeah, but I've never been able to play basketball because I'm weird about, like, and I also have a weird about, because I do get very competitive and I can get physical and I can.
You start a fight.
I definitely have started a fight.
Well, you'll Adam Ray it. You know Adam Ray?
Of course.
Now, did you know about his fucking basketball, this guy? We got kicked out of the fucking basketball comedy league.
Why?
Adam wanted to fight everybody.
Really?
This guy, every time it was a good game.
Yeah.
And we won the championship, by the way.
Who's on the team? Kirk Fox.
No, it was a bunch of Seattle dudes.
Rick Glassman?
He was not on our team.
Rick Glassman's apparently a hoop. Fucking baller.
Yeah, he can hoop.
Legit baller, but I guess from his take on it, he gets extremely aggressive.
He does.
And got kicked out of a couple teams.
Yeah, no, he's been, him and Adam are the same guy. They take it too serious. It's really? Great. To have him on your team. But Adam has got that like stockiness to him that like when he gets down in the paint, he'll throw elbows. Dude, he hit one of the agents team. We play like an agent and manager team. He smoked one of these agents right in the face.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but it was a William Morris guy, so nobody cares.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was
they
like
got acquired by CAA, right?
He just knocked out of an acquisition agent. No, but he was so aggressive that they basically told us if the fights don't stop and the shit talking doesn't stop, the league's over. And we basically were all over it anyway, but
sweet
Adam.
I can't even get into a fantasy football league.
Like, I don't know.
I'm not around enough. I was telling this to someone, maybe even Whitney. I'm not around enough to know people to like. I've never gone to lunch with a bunch of comics.
What about people outside of comedy? You have friends outside of comedy?
But I don't want to join their league and then all of a sudden where you go up and they're like, Bert! And you're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, I
now
guess.
I got to be Bert the whole time.
But fantasy is mostly online anyway.
The only thing I did is I played Home Run Derby with the comics from the store. Mm. Probably when, do you remember, I forget, I think Steve Byrne was setting it up.
I feel like I remember this.
And Brett Ernst would play, Sebastian, Ari, Renazizi.
Who roped the most?
And me, without a doubt. Course. Without not even close.
Named a lot of skinny guys, though. You got to get, who else, there's got to be a boy who's got some legs. You got to have legs and butt to hit a baseball.
No, it was store comics. I remember when I met Sebastian, and he was putting on his uniform. And I thought it was a joke because they were comics. And he was putting on stirrups with no pants because he never played real sports.
What am I doing wearing stirrups? I could see him not shitting all over the outfits.
I'm going to Italy tomorrow, and I Googled Italy, things I need to know about Italy, like on YouTube, and Sebastian came up.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
Maniscalco is the first thing that pops up.
Do you know they got Folgers over there?
Where are you going? I just got back. I talked to Schultz
about
this.
I saw this. I saw you were on it, put it on Instagram, right?
Where are you going to go? Yeah.
I did a Bert.
I put a Speedo on for the first time in my entire life.
I saw that and you looked great.
I never put on a Speedo. I've never done it in my life.
For real?
I just don't. Also, it's like my dingle gets so compact when I'm in the water. Do you stay thick?
No.
I get so compact. That's why there's Bobby kissing one of my nuts. Why is that on the internet?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, I...
Well, that was when I did Conan. That was just a little... You know, Conan was like, can you do some self-promotion? I was like, you better believe it, dude. I think if you zoom in, you can see kind of the crust beginning of my nut. Yeah, there's like one little beginning. Oh, yeah. Right, that's like the...
Wait, where did you go in Italy?
Sicily. To the Igari Island chain. To Levanzo, Marettimo, and Favignana. There's three islands off the coast of Sicily, off the northwest coast.
See, that's where I would go.
It's phenomenal, man.
I'm with my kids.
Oh,
and
well.
So they wanted to see Rome, Positano, Florence,
Amalfi
Venice.
Coast. Oh, yeah.
And so,
Venice.
Yeah.
Up north is fun.
Venice is awesome. Venice is fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, Venice is cool. It's going to stink a little bit. It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot as fucking shit.
But are you doing a baller version? Like you're getting toured around by someone? Yeah, you're doing the boss version. That's so cool, man.
Yeah. I made a joke. I was telling these guys. I made a joke to my wife of like, because my wife skimps. Like she skimps.
What? What do you mean?
Skimps. Like if you go, hey, we're flying. She goes, I got us really good business.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Comfort
yeah.
seats. And I go.
We're flying a Spirit flight.
Yeah. And I go, why would you do that? And she goes, well, it's like $1,000 cheaper. I go, let's not do that. It's a vacation. You don't. No one goes on vacation and goes, I'm going to go below what I can spend to save money. It's a time you treat yourself.
Yeah.
I've had a good year. Let's go all out.
Yeah, go
all
out.
So I gave her a price point within which I wanted to see.
Yeah.
And she last night told me she spent like over half of that. And I went, holy fuck.
Tune it down.
I was kidding.
You know, one of the kids has to stay.
Because I got nervous last night and I said, hey, are we going to have to... we're not flying to any of these. We're taking a train. And she goes, oh, no, no. You said you wanted like a chauffeur. And I was like, oh, we have cars taking us places? And she goes, oh, I think it's a Sprinter van. I think it's like a luxury Sprinter van.
Sick.
And I was like, oh, fuck. Dad's going to have a blast.
Yeah, Poppy's going to drink the whole
I'm
time.
I'm going to drink the entire
time. Wait, your
time.
Kids can't drink yet.
They can there.
Oh, yeah, that's right, 18.
I'm going to drink them under the fucking table. I can't wait. I took Mark Norman
drink
to Europe.
Drinking contest with your kids.
I took Mark Norman to Europe, and he had a hard time keeping up with me, and I never felt better. I can't wait to do it to my kids.
You think, what if they can compete?
They can't.
They have your blood.
I'm a professional.
They have your blood, though. They come from you.
Huberman's Lab said, ultimately, I am the best drinker in the world. And that's only a little bit of Joe's podcast I saw.
Who's Huberman's Lab?
Huberman he's like a scientist workout guy. Just type him up.
Huberman's Lab.
Like Andrew Huberman or something?
I don't know this guy. This guy.
Andrew Huberman. Yeah, I was right.
So you're number one. In his heart, you're number one.
So he said on Rogan, the very beginning episode he did with Rogan, and he goes, they were talking about Ari throwing up. And he said, you know, some people, because Joe's like, Shane Gillis can drink, and Shane Gillis can fucking drink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, for some people, when they drink, it creates dopamine. And then that dopamine, like, they don't get the thing that most people get. We're like, ooh, I'm not going to feel good later.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't have that. I have the, we are going to do this. When I have a drink, something happens to me. I just happened. It just happened right now. I literally was going to go, do you want a drink?
What happened?
Because my heart skips a beat. Where I get excited and I go, oh,
that sounds like a health problem.
This is going to be a fucking...
Uh-oh. Your heart skips a beat?
Hold on, it's my daughter. Hey, what's up?
I'm leaving.
Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going?
To Ellie's house to help her pack because tonight's her last night.
Okay, all right.
Very sad.
All right, I love you. We'll see you in the morning.
Yes, sir. She has to be back at her house by like... super early, so I'm gonna be home pretty early too.
All right, I love you, baby. Be safe, okay?
I love you too. Tell Whitney I love her too.
Whitney just left. I'm with Andrew Santino. I can't wait to drink you under the table in Italy.
Oh, okay.
All right, I love you. Bye.
Not prepared at all. Do they drink?
No, they've never. I mean, yeah, they have.
Behind, for sure.
Yeah, they have.
Like, but she's going to Ellie's house. They're getting smashed.
No, I don't think Ellie's parents let them drink. It's her friends going to college tomorrow, and we go to Italy, and so they're all saying goodbye to. Like, all the friends are saying goodbye. They all go to college, and so it's been a big fucking shit show.
What a weird time in your life. Now you're going to be empty nesting soon. That is revealed.
You have no idea how sad that is.
That's
you
have a no but idea. That now you're starting
you don't have
your
kids, right?
No. Now you're starting
are
your
you gonna
second,
have kids?
Maybe. You want to give one of your kids to me? What if I raise how old's the youngest one?
Isla, 16.
Great. I got 2 more years. I'll raise her for 2 years.
Good luck.
Easy money, dude.
Good fucking
two
luck.
Years? I'll knock
the other
out
day
2 years.
She came in, she said, did you know it was Heil Hitler and not Hey Hitler? And I was like, you thought they were just going, hey, Hitler.
Let me text the group. Hold on. Because I think it's Heil. But...
it's pretty. Dude,
but it is kind of hey. But Heil means.
Hey.
Hey. So it is hey, so Hitler. It is. Hey, Hitler.
Hey, Hitler.
Hey.
Hey. Hey, Hitler.
Hey. Hey, Hitler.
Do you think they Heil a cab?
Heil a cab in Germany. Heil a cab. Heil a cab. Cab, please. Little, are you little yellow cab for me, please?
Wait, so you just do like. Like married guy stuff.
Mm-hmm. What do
like,
you mean?
Like you guys go out to dinner?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, what's your life look like? You're blowing up, by the way. I know you've been blowing up for a while, but like, I just saw you in a big movie the other day with Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Yeah,
it should be good. I don't know. I mean,
it's
you know,
a time travel movie.
You never know.
Yeah, or not time travel. But
no,
like,
it's like a. It's
he,
like a,
meets his high school friend.
No, no, it's like a. Mark Wahlberg is his childhood friend, and then the, like, his wife is like he's a stay at home dad. And his wife is like, you need to like go party.
Yeah.
You're too much of a stiff.
Yeah.
And I'm one of the dads that's at the school who's like, dude, I can get us cocaine without a doubt. I can get us hookers and cocaine.
You're so good. You're
at being the cocaine hooker guy.
You're such a good actor.
Thank you, dude.
Like I watch you act and you can definitely be different people. You can definitely do the thing you're supposed to do when you act.
Transform.
Yes.
Trying. I mean, in this movie, I just get to have fun with Kevin. It's like it was a breeze. And then his wife, you know, lets him party and then he meets up with Wahlberg, and Wahlberg's like an animal, and he's like, "We're going to Coachella and all this stuff, and da da da, and all doing all this stuff." And obviously, everything goes, you know, crazy. I don't know if it's good. I hope it's good. You just never know. You do those things. You're like, "I was funny. Yeah. I hope it works."
I saw you see them sometimes, and you see like guys in them that are comics, and you'll see their like one line, and then you go, "How much time do they give them to that one line?" Do they? Because sometimes I know when we do our movie. You just be like, hey, we're behind, man. Like, we guys got to get it. It's not important to us. Yeah. But it's important to the person saying it that they're funny.
For sure. Of course.
And so you're...
That's all you want.
Yeah.
You're like, it's my little nugget. I have to... Like, anytime that I get those little shots in, those big things, I'm always like, God, I have to be as funny as I can be. But you still don't know if they're going to keep it in.
What's that's, Kevin like to work with?
I mean, Kevin's the man.
Yeah?
Like, I didn't really talk to Mark that much because he's kind of a quiet... He's like, does his own thing.
Tom said he was a fucking dick.
Kevin was?
Tom said that Mark Wahlberg was the biggest dick he'd ever met.
Seriously?
He fucking hated him. He was
well,
like,
I mean, he didn't, I mean, you know.
He was like, dude, him and I don't do anything together. I'm kidding. By the way, it's just a joke. I like doing those.
He's like, dude, I'm going to fuck you up, dude.
Tom's
I heard you were fucking
like,
talking
I never
shit.
Fucking said that. I never said that. Nobody did say he's quiet. And for Tom to say someone's quiet, that guy has to be.
Silent. Dude, he didn't say, no, he, but him and I didn't have a lot of to do together. So, but I was with Kevin the whole time. The Kevin dude, you know, he's a stand-up. So like. Any stand-up, at any level they're at, I don't care if they're brand new or if they're 30 years in, they're going to treat you differently because you're a stand-up.
Yeah.
So immediately Kevin was like, you know, we were just talking
shit. This sounds
shit.
Silly. Did you know him before?
We had met because he's an executive producer of Dave.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, that's right. He is. I forgot about
that. He's one of the EPs
that.
For the show. So we had met, but, you know, nothing. It was super informal. Like, we had met and then whatever, but...
But he's familiar with your work.
Yeah, yeah. He knew me. And then the best part was... I was like, hey, are you going to be in Philly? Because he was like doing something for an Eagles game. And I was like, I'm playing in Philly like next week. He was like, oh, no shit? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, fuck his buddy. I can't remember his buddy's name who was playing a show at Helium. And I was playing the theater right behind it. And I said, well, do you want to come? He's like, I'm going to do my boy's show. Come by and do some time. And I was like, I'm going to do this. I'll just, you know, chill. But you know, was texting me, keeping me updated. It was like, he didn't need to be so nice. He didn't know me that well. But I left the theater, went over there and hung with them and watched him. He just popped in at like 1 a.m. and like finished the spot with his buddy.
Really?
It was so nice too. It was like, you know, because he's from there, but it was also him showing love to his boy and, you know, to help him promote him.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what I'm trying to say, he was a stand-up. Like, he's, like any stand-up, you're like, I don't care how famous you get or whatever, you're still a stand-up.
Kevin's, I mean, as much as I've known Kevin, he's never... come off I only knew him. I mean, I haven't really talked to him, I don't think, since he got really big a little bit, but not much. But he just was it's like I get a kick watching him succeed.
Yeah, I think he's great, man. I think he's super funny and he does his own thing. He sticks in his lane. He knows exactly what he does well. It's like, that's what you have to do at some point, you know? It's like, you know what you do well, so you have to continue it, because if you deviate too much, people are like, what are you doing? We like when you do the
he's
the
first
thing.
Guy that leaned out to be a mogul. Like, legit comic that leaned out to go.
I know.
Like, it's interesting.
Like, he's sponsored by Nike. It's like he's a Nike athlete.
I remember watching him when he was doing, I think he was running every day, Like every day he was on the road, he'd run.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's when he was getting his Nike deal. Cause I'm sure that's like, but to watch his brain work from the outside looking in, you're like, that guy, I mean, think about it, right? Dane just wanted to be a movie star. Kevin wanted to be a mogul.
Yeah, he wanted to be, you want to be like an entity. You want like your, you want your name to be a, it's like Jay-Z. Like Jay-Z is not, doesn't, no, I think super young kids that are like coming into the world now,
yeah,
they probably don't know Jay-Z the way that we know Jay-Z. They know him as like Beyonce's husband, who's like a rich, famous rap mogul.
The guy at Fashion Week?
Yeah. Yeah. God. Like they don't know. They wouldn't connect those other dots. So I guess you become bigger than your name. Like I have zero intuition or ambition to like do that. I just want to like do funny stuff and that's it. I don't want to like build businesses and be a part of it. I don't want to do it. I think this is it.
I have an inclination. I like being an idea guy. So I like having an idea and then seeing it develop. Like I loved making these flip-flops. Like that was one of my favorite things. Cause then they went on sale and they sold out in like 13 minutes. And that energy excites me. I loved doing Fully Loaded. Like I loved the,
but that's in your sphere still.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Like I have never really had an inclination to do a liquor, you know?
Yeah. And everyone's doing them. Like Brian Cranston and what's his name have one? Where is it?
Is it right there? Where is it? Where is it?
What's it called?
It's called Dos Hombres. By the way, I got to give them a shout out. They gave us a bunch of bottles for Fully Loaded.
Let me see.
They gave us a bunch of bottles.
But I know they made it tequila, right? Isn't that what it was?
Dos Hombres, yeah. Dos Hombres. It's a mezcal.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that means. I think it's just sweeter.
It's just hard to trust two white guys with tequila. You know what I mean?
That's all that makes them. That's all. And by the way, that's, you know, talk about appropriation.
Yeah, yeah.
There's going to be a day of reckoning where they're like, hey, George Clooney, we're going to need you to give Casamigos back to the town of Guadalajara.
Well, dude, he sold it for, what, $1 billion?
No.
Yeah. Didn't he sell it for a billion?
Ryan Reynolds has a gin, Aviator gin.
Yeah, that's
right. Pull up all the famous people who have liquors.
Kevin has Avion or something like that, or what is it called?
The Rock has Teremana.
Teremana. You ever seen Will Sasso do that?
No.
Sasso on his show, he always goes like, Teremana, and he does an impression of him. But it's Teremana, but he calls it Teremana. CNBC reports George Clooney, $700 million. Yeah.
That's close enough to a billion that I just.
Well, no, look. And then Diego paid that amount in June with the potential for another $300 million based on performance. As a result, Clooney and his partners made $1 billion.
I wouldn't mind doing something I don't care about and selling it.
Yeah, like that? Fine. I'll do that. I'll do like a whiskey and sell it off. But I mean, to build that thing like in the way that they did it was nuts. I have some insight to how, what helped, but.
For real?
Yeah.
What?
I can't do it on here.
What?
Over how it helped build that brand as big as it is. I just can't tell you the secret.
Wait, what do you mean? I'm confused.
I know some people that were helping to get Casamigos spread the way it spread. Like, you know, it became synonymous. Now people think, they're like, Casamigos, everyone says it. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there's a few people that I know that are partners with some of those guys that you like learn how the math works. You're like, oh, you get it into these things and then everybody talks about it at the most famous bars and clubs and golf courses, and it just becomes synonymous with a culture, and then it spreads like wildfire.
I think I sometimes wonder, I would love to know the metrics on if I helped Tito's at all.
I think you did.
Because I went on Rogan, the largest information platform in this country, and talked about Tito's aggressively.
All the time. I thought you were sponsored by Tito's.
And by the way, I never got a fucking cent. And that company is huge. I never, like, they always hooked me up with Tito's.
Sure.
But like, it would have been cool if they were like, hey man, we'd like to bring you into the company. You know the guy's owner's name's Bert?
No.
The owner of Tito's name is Bert.
Bert, what are you doing, bud? Wherever you are, bud. You're in Austin. I know where you are.
And I switched from Tito's because of that. Because I started.
So you don't drink it anymore?
I don't tell anyone what I drink anymore because I go, well, it's fucking foolish.
Why don't you reach out and make a deal, make somebody make a deal with them then?
It's too late. I already did the legwork.
Yeah.
What you would have wanted is Tito's to hit you up back in like 2017 and then been like, so hold on, you lost 22 pounds in 1 month and you drank Tito's every fucking night? How the fuck did you do that? Like,
welcome to Tito's diet plan.
Okay.
Are you tired of gaining weight?
Sweet Cove Bourbon, Peyton Manning and Andy Roddick.
Andy Roddick, that's nuts.
That is like the whitest two people They would have definitely owned slaves if it had been
past tense. I think they both do. I think they both do, dude. Andy Roddick and Shanghai. What? No, Singani 63. Steven Soderbergh, the Hollywood director. Who else?
Aviation Gin. Ryan Reynolds. By the way, gin's gin. Like, I don't like good gins. I can't tell the difference between good gin and bad gin. I met a woman the other night that goes, I own part of a gin company. And I was like, really? Thinking she was like a high-end celebrity. And she goes, it's my DP's. I was on a movie and this DP said he started a gin company. So I threw, you know, like $5,000 in. And I was like, you don't own part of a gin.
You don't own shit. Lagavulin is very famous. Nick Offerman has like a special edition of it. That's what that is.
That's not a bad gig.
Yeah, to be
special
like.
Special edition.
Well, that's what it should have been. Tito's, Kreischer's, Tito, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's what they would have done.
George Strait.
Who's George Strait now? He's a country singer. Bless you.
Thank you.
Right?
George Strait's a country music, country western.
Tramana. There's the Tramana. Rock.
It's one of the greatest booze brands launches in recent times. Celebrity or not, the liquor sold. And at here's the thing that I sign up for Tramana. By the way, shout out to The Rock. Get me in at the ground. I will switch over to tequila. I've already switched over to tequila a little bit.
Yeah, you're drinking that a lot more than you're doing it now.
Can I show you something? I'd have one right now if you want one.
Tequila, what do you have? Tequila and what?
Tequila soda and lime. It's my favorite drink I've ever had.
Tequila, so what kind of tequila though? Blanco?
I got everything. No, Blanco, Teremana.
That's the one you go for is Blanco.
I'm looking at it right now. I've got Casamigos.
What about Michael Jordan's? Do we know we don't want to ball with the best?
I don't know.
Sincoro?
Let's real quick. Hold on. Let me show you what. Let me show you something that's going to change your game, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to see.
I'm going to my Whoop.
Wait, who's that say Long Branch? Go down a little bit. Wild Turkey Long, Matt McConaughey? Oh, he's got like a, that's again, that's another special edition one.
Two nights I didn't drink tequila this week. Two nights.
How many nights do you usually take off? Never.
Never, really.
Okay, what if Leanne's like, take some time off?
She doesn't.
She will never.
No.
No, not even like.
No.
If she's like, I need you to hold it together.
Hang on, don't go through so fast. I want to see some of these.
If she's like, I need you to hold it together because we
look
got
look at my important recovery on my Whoop. Those greens are the nights I drank tequila. There's no sugar in it. You sleep so sound.
100% sleep? Is that what you're getting?
You're
getting full uninterrupted sleep?
95% recovery.
So what you're saying is if you don't drink, you sleep worse. You sleep better when you
that
drink.
That one red was, I think, one night I didn't drink. And the next red. No, the one red was when we had, was when we were doing Something's Burning, and we had those two nights. One was we did Old Fashions, which has sugar at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't like.
And then the next day was when we did Campari's.
Campari soda.
Campari gin and vermouth.
Ooh.
It's called a Panugu.
Be careful! That sounds offensive. The Panugu. Sorry to all the Panugus out there.
A Panugu. I forget what it's called, but my recovery on tequila is astronomical.
Better than all the other booze.
And it's been so high. I'll tell you what. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to put all the cards on the table and look for a tequila sponsor. I will drink tequila on every Two Bears episode we do from here on out. And I will settle on one. And I'll tell you right now, I think we've talked about doing this, but Ron White's got a tequila.
Does he?
Yeah, and Ron White doesn't drink anymore. He might need a comedian to be drinking his tequila. To grab the baton.
Mm-hmm. Take it and run with it.
He drinks, I think he or drinks jog. the brown tequila. I like Blanco.
No, see, I like no.
You like the brown one?
I like I like Reposado is probably one of my favorites. Uh-uh. I mean, I like Blanco a lot, but
I like an Añejo Blanco.
I mean, I'll drink all of them, but I think like for some reason Reposado lately I've liked a lot. Reposado with a little bit of soda.
Guy Fieri, Sammy Hagar. Found out that Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson were dating, you were like. That is the Pam and
that's
Tommy.
That's the same. How is that not called Out of Bounds?
Who do you think stopped high-fiving first?
They still are.
I bet they are just sitting in a bar.
Right now, all day.
Yeah. Come on, bro. Just
counting checks. Sammy's Beach Bar Rum.
Let's fucking go.
That's Out of Bounds, dude. Flavortown. How is it not called Flavortown Tequila? That's even more. I don't know. I don't think I could have one of these things unless you get, even when you get huge, the risk is. Like, what's his name's got a, Dan Aykroyd has a tequila. He brought it on Rogan.
No, it's a Skull vodka. It's a vodka. Skull vodka.
Yeah, but I don't know anyone that's ever had it.
So there was a period where I looked into doing this.
Yeah.
Where you want to talk about what a bad businessman I was? I purchased $250,000 worth of vodka.
What? Just like shelved vodka
so,
that doesn't.
So what I met is I met a producer who could put vodka in those vitamin C packets. You know those vitamin C packets you'd rip open and dump upside down?
Yeah.
He could fill it with a shot of vodka.
No.
And so I was like, see if you can find those. And
that's
so I was
brilliant.
Like, I said, done.
Yeah.
That's my brand.
Yeah.
I drink on planes.
On the go, baby.
I want them in my pocket. I want to go to a concert and no one know I have pockets full of vodka.
Yeah.
And then I get to measure myself. I'm going to order drinks for the place, but if I need extra vodka, it's in my pocket.
Little hitter, yeah.
$250,000. They were out of Clearwater or St. Pete, Tampa, and St. Pete, Florida. And I said, done. And the deal's about to get going through. My dad overlooked it. And this is, by the way, this is before I had $250,000. Like, I had it, but it was going to hurt.
All the money you had.
It was going to hurt. I just believed in this brand. And then he said, great. We're, just so you know, where am I going to be shipping this to? And I said, I don't know, probably just my house. And he goes, no, man. This is like, you're going to need a warehouse.
And $250,000 worth, yeah.
And I had not thought any of this out. And I was like,
in your backyard?
I thought I was putting it in my garage.
Yeah.
And then I just sell it at shows or something. And he was like, no, man, there's certain states I can't send this to. Like, where are you right now? I said, California. And he goes, it'd be better if you had a garage, like a warehouse in Florida. And I said, I need a warehouse in Florida. He goes, you're going to need a distributor. Like, how are you planning on doing this? And I hadn't thought any of that out. And
where is all this?
It just fell apart. The deal went away.
But you never had to pay.
Never had to pay.
Thank God.
It was so early in the process.
Is that the dumbest amount of money you've spent and didn't have to spend? What's the dumbest thing you've bought that cost you the most money that you can't believe you bought it? That you actually had to pay for it?
That's a great question. That's a great
You're going down the list in your head.
That is a great question. There have been...
Because you don't buy, you're not like Tom, like you don't buy fancy cars, do you?
No. I definitely am not like Tom. Like Tom will buy jackets for $8,000.
Like a coat?
Like a coat. And by the way, not even a comfortable coat. Like he spends.
They live in Texas. How often do you need $8,000 coats?
I don't have any purchases that I've made that I regret because I just don't spend money like that.
You don't waste.
I don't want for a lot of things. Like right. The things I want are pretty inexpensive.
Like
I bought two surfboards the other day. Like but I bought them just for our beach house. Or like an electric bike, right?
Yeah, right. That's like
$2,000, but like right. That's the most I buy a lot of gear. Like I have a lot of gear that I'd probably like the other day we bought $5,000 worth of lights. And I was like, maybe we shouldn't have bought that.
For the studios.
Yeah, for the studio. But
yeah, but that's for work stuff.
Dinners is where I've spent my most money, where it gets out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll pick up dinners quickly. And
For
everybody. I've done that with Rogan before. And I was so drunk that I just was like.
Oh, dude, when I'm with him, I make sure he picks up.
I'm
like, I don't have a wallet and I'm not going to around you. Get all these fucking T-bone steaks. I'm not paying for this shit. But you know what's funny is I learned when I toured with him, he would give you so much shit if you wanted to dip out. If you were like, let's get out of here. He's like, no, let's sit at this restaurant. I'm like, let's go. Let's go somewhere else. Yeah. Because I wanted to go have a drink somewhere. But he doesn't want to go out and drink.
No.
So whoever we were with, I'd be like, we're going to kick out and go drink somewhere.
Yeah.
He can't do that. So he's like, no, sit, stay.
Oh, because he doesn't want to go to a bar because he'll get swamped.
Well, of course not. I mean, like, but also, or another restaurant that we could sneak into because at some point, you know, he just wants to go to the go to the hotel and chill. But I was like, oh, I want to see the city. I want to go fuck around in the city.
Yeah.
Which I know you do everywhere I go. They're like, yo, Bert came out with all of us. I was like, well, I'm not going to do that. But
it was the funnest when I was younger too, like when I could legit do it.
And just go out all night with everybody.
Oh.
Did you ever wake up in a place you didn't belong?
Yeah.
All the time.
I woke up in a barn one time.
Dude, I like the way you said, yeah. You're like, yeah, that's my thing.
A lot.
I wake up a lot in places I'm not supposed to be.
I would, when I was really young and I was doing clubs, I would go out with the wait staff all the time. All the time. Every night I would go out. And I mean, I became really close with some of these people, like very close. And I woke up in a barn one time we went to like some field and there was a barn and
like a keg field party?
Yeah, keg party in a field.
Man.
And then once we got the tour bus, that stopped happening. Like, the tour bus was a game changer. But then that, my favorite thing in the fucking world, and I can't do it anymore because it's, like, just problematic, is doing a show, telling everyone to go meet me at a bar, blowing that bar up
yeah.
to the point where no one can fucking move. And then my bus pulling out front and just...
And leaving.
And be like, I'm out! And the place going nuts. And then getting on the bus.
Yeah.
And that the best one ever. We went to a bar in Penn State and... They had a drink called something Kool-Aid, Magic Kool-Aid or something.
I like the name Magic Kool-Aid's great. Penn State Magic Kool-Aid. Look that up. So see if that's
we went to this bar, and I didn't tell anyone. I used to tell people on stage, this is where I'm going, and then and now
I've seen you tweet about it too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to because I thought it was fun. I just went. I didn't tell anyone. I showed up, and then the place went nuts. And then I was like, all right, I'll do pictures. This is, by the way, during COVID. I'll do pictures. I go around do pictures. Do a lap of pictures, and then they kind of give us a place to ourselves, and we go off to the corner, and people are still coming up, but they bring this drink, Magic Kool-Aid, and they're like, you got to have this drink. It's fucking awesome. So we drink them, and it tastes like fucking cool. Whatever it tastes, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was purple. It was purple.
Purple drink.
And we loved it. So we go back to the venue, because it's bus call. We get on the bus. We're in our underwear, and we're getting ready to leave. And everyone's like, does anyone have anything to drink in here? And we're like, no. And they're like, bars are fucking, everything's closed. It's too late to buy beer. And we're like, wait, we don't have anything in the bus? And they're like, call the bar. See if they'll make us some Magic Kool-Aids to go. So I call the bar. I go, hey, my name's Burt Kreischer. I was just there. And they're like, what's up? I said, they're like, we're closed. And I go, well, can we pick up some Magic Kool-Aid? And they're like, hold on. And the lady says, no. So she hangs up. Phone rings back. He goes, it's the manager. Be here in 5. So we pull the bus up to the bar. I run
for
out,
you, for sure.
I run out in my underwear, and he has made fucking jars, like huge tubs of it. And we run in. It's just the wait staff. They're cleaning up. We run back out. It was the funnest.
That is so cool. See, you get that. If I call there, they're like, no, we're closed. I'm like, no, but it's me. Oh, they're like, I don't give a fuck. We're closed.
That's the fucking... The partying on the road for me has been the funnest because... It's almost more fun than having a family because you really...
Dude, it's almost more fun than having a... Partying is almost more fun than having a family.
Having a family is very predictable. It's very yeah. like, you know, like, I mean, like, I love it. Like, I love having a family. I love doing stuff with my kids and my wife. It's fun. I'm not shitting on it. But there is a magic to the road of, like, you never you know disappear. What the next city is going to be.
You're a fucking... You don't exist. Like, you know what I mean? You only exist in a little time... In the places that you're in.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so much, I don't know, it's exhilarating to do the road. Like, it's exhilarating to do shows and, like, to be traveling. And, like, I think that's why I enjoy traveling with my family. Because I identify traveling with, like, the newness and the freshness. And yeah. And like, last night I was telling someone, I was sitting outside, and my wife's just reading a book. She's like, this is what it's going to be like when we get old. And I'm like, And then she's like, what are we going to do when the girls go to college? I guess I'll just come on the road with you. And I was like, oh, no fucking way.
No, you won't.
What, are we going to put you in a bunk in the back?
I mean, yeah, she gets back. She gets priority, but she will be in the back.
She will.
Yeah, you're in the back.
She is such. Why are we eating that? That's not healthy. We should get salads. And you're like, what the fuck?
No, we're not getting fucking salads. Not on the, no salads on the fucking bus. No greenery on the bus. Would you take her on tour with you? You know who I met? Dude, Regan travels with his girlfriend or his, yeah. I don't know if it's his wife or whatever.
It's not his first wife, I'll tell you that.
No, but we were in.
Yeah. Are you asking if would I travel with my second wife? Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
She can your come second anywhere wife, we you go. Can,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm joking.
Nobody travels with their first wife. No, we were in Madison, and it was me. I was playing the theater there. Emmy Blotnick was playing the comedy on stage, and then Regan was in their
That's
theater.
That's great. Which theater were you in? The one that's right next
Varsity
door to the
Varsity Theater, maybe? No, not right next to the theater.
Okay, yeah.
That's the Paramount? I don't even know what that one's called.
Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, it's huge. And
then you guys all hung out?
Yeah, well, then I went because I wanted to go say hi to her and go see her set. And I saw her late show. And then Regan was like, I'm going to come over. And I was like, oh, yeah. And then we just all went out together. And I was like, are you traveling together? He's like, yeah, we're on the bus together. So they literally were doing what you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how many dates they were doing together, but...
I'm joking. My wife, when she does come on the road, she is fun because she's not like... It's not her natural comfort zone.
Right.
There is a momness to her. Like
a protective like
you
thing.
Got, well, you got it. There's... Look, it's the things I love about my wife. I don't like talking good about my wife because I feel like that is the thing that dudes that cheat on their wives do.
Talking
you know?
Good about her?
Yeah. Like,
yeah. When you, well, list all the things you hate about her.
Ooh.
This will be easier.
Oh, my God.
Start with body parts. That's, what's the worst
spot? I can tell you what I love is her tits. I had a joke. I tried
she has
to write,
nice, nice tits. Big, oh, nice
boobs.
Tits.
She has great boobs. She has great boobs. I told her, I said, you know, women don't, you don't see how old women are when you just see their cleavage. If you put your cleavage out, that's all I'll look at.
Right.
So just wear a lot. And she's like, I ain't like that. That ain't who I am. She, we went to Calgary one time, and it was fucking ice cold, and Jesus Trejo showed up with a jean jacket.
My man. Love.
Jean jacket.
And he's not from the cold. He doesn't know.
He has, they don't go that north.
Yeah, yeah.
And so.
they're not allowed. Mexican people aren't allowed way above that line.
So,
that's too high, man.
That's two, crossing two borders is a lot.
It's heavy. Like,
it's
heavy.
Too much to ask.
Yeah, swim and you got to get through snow.
So they have two tennis rackets on their feet.
Then they dry out in the desert.
Leanne, this is how great Leanne is we get on the plane and she goes, he ain't ever been up to Canada. And I was like, no, I don't think so. And she goes, he gonna freeze. And I was like, well, yeah, he's a grown up. He can figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck are you, what are you worried about, Jesus? I was like, worry about me. Order yourself a double Bloody Mary so I can drink it on the fucking flight. So we get to the airport and then she just disappears and she comes back with like a fucking, I'm saying the number, I'm sure it's, I'm making the number up, but like a fucking $400 jacket for Jesus from Patagonia.
Sweetheart.
And she's like, he needs this. And it's got like the silver on the inside, like it's thermal.
Oh, it's sick. Yeah, those are so
like,
dope.
Yeah, and I was like, that's who Leanne is. And so she's fun, like when you take her on the road like that, because like, she like, when we first got, she doesn't do it as much anymore. When we first got the tour bus, she'd be like, all right, you guys are all set up. Alexa, set a bedtime for 9:30. Alexa goes, setting a bedtime for 9:30.
Did she do that? She's regimented.
She put
huh?
No, she was joking. Oh, but we're not going to bed tonight.
Yeah, but what if she came on tour with you and then started getting you on a schedule? Would you ever shift like that?
You mean like a cop? No. No. Fuck. Fuck. My bigger question is, what's it like to be like just married? Because like all we do
no
is talk
kid
about,
stuff.
All we talk about is kids.
Yeah. They don't I don't have anything taking up that, like we said the other day, we could just we should go have a drink in the neighborhood.
No.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, okay, let's just go. And pick up and go. I mean, it's just like there is no, it's nice because there's no scheduling. It'd be nice to have kids. I mean, I think we'll get there. But it's also like, I don't have any schedule. I don't have to answer anybody. It doesn't matter how long we're out of town. We went to Italy for two and a half, or went to Europe for 2.5 weeks. We don't have to think about it.
No cats, no dogs?
We have a dog, but we just hand it off to someone we know. I mean, dogs are great because you're like, do you want to watch a dog? They're like, of course.
So you go to Italy and no one's like.
No responsibility. No time. Nothing. Nothing matters. Nothing exists. It's amazing.
Really?
Vacation me is the best me ever. Because we plan a few things, but then I just disappear. I love getting lost. We like figuring it out. I like having things kind of go awry on vacation.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, I'm just in a new thing. I'll just figure out some new shit. Wow. Like, I don't want to make a huge schedule. I don't like, so with kids, you got to have some kind of schedule.
Oh, I know where my daughter, she just called. She's going over to Ellie's to spend the night. And then Isla's upstairs. Isla texted while I was podcasting with Whitney. She's like, we need dinner tonight. What are we doing for dinner? And then
no
I texted my wife,
I walked in.
I go, hey, what are we doing? Like, it's really regimented. And then tomorrow we get picked up at 1:00. Leanne made lists for everybody of what to pack. And then everyone's got their suitcases are at their front, at their door to their room.
Does she pack for you?
No, I wouldn't let her. I'm really neurotic about, because I've traveled my whole adult life.
Yeah.
I'm a certain packer.
There's like, guys that have wives pack for them. That's always so strange to me.
Oh, I would love that. I would love to be that guy. Not
really?
I would love to be a guy that didn't know enough about himself to know what to pack.
It's like Bobby.
Bobby Lee?
Yeah, he's like, it's like Bobby for sure can't pack a bag.
So that's why he wears those shirts.
Yeah.
Someone's putting a bunch of smalls at his front door.
Yeah, he just doesn't, I think he just grabs stuff. I think he gets overwhelmed and is like, and then just puts stuff in a bag.
I would love to be that guy. I've always fantasized about being other men and what their lives must be like.
Who's the man you fantasize about being the most?
I've times when life gets really stressful with work. I look at like fence builders.
Is that who you want to be?
Like I look at fence builders and I go, I bet they don't take their work home with them. I bet they're not like up going, fuck, man, is that straight enough?
Yeah,
I hope I'm straight. And then they wake up and they're like, I got to get up early. I want to think about that fence a little bit.
Can you imagine though, fence builder, some guy's listening. He's like, yes, we do. That's all we think about all day long is fences. Maybe they do though, dude. Maybe they take their job so serious that they take it home and they're analytical about how they built that fucking fence. I don't know, man.
We were looking at a house today. Could be their passion. I'll tell you what would drive me fucking nuts. Now that you say that, people do take their work home with them.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at a house today. I said this earlier, but we were looking to put the podcast studio and everything into one house. And there was a guy, I guess the market's not going so good for houses right now.
Well, it's so expensive. Everything's so expensive.
Well, right, no, they're all coming down because no one can sell anything.
Good. Plummet.
And the guy said, if you can get me out of this for this much money, I'd buy him cash and let him walk. Because he's not done with the house. And we were like, we go in, he's not there, but we're texting with our agent.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's offering it for, you know, I'm going to do a ridiculous number so everyone knows it's not the real number, but it says offering it for like 12.4.
Mm.
And then and we're like looking at it and it's not done. And we're like, I don't know if this is in this neighborhood is going to be worth it. And then he writes back, if you can get me out of this for like 10 million, I'll be happy. And then I thought, can you imagine getting into houses because you want to be rich? And now you're building houses and your mind's spinning out of control and you're upside down on a house that you're still building, knowing the market's going down.
Yeah.
And then you're stressed. Like, my dad did not love law, but he was always stressed about money. That's the thing I'm missing.
But you don't stress about money.
Not really.
Yeah, didn't take that with him. It's like your dad's overwhelming stress. That not getting that is huge because you don't seem like that guy who's like, I don't know if we can do that. I mean, I don't know if we can afford that.
No, I don't think about money often. But that I think that's a gift of privilege of growing up around money where you don't have like, and we weren't rich, but my dad never let us stress about money. But my dad stressed about money. My dad used to tell the same story every fucking time. He's like, you don't understand what it's like. I remember going in to tennis camp, and I didn't have the money to pay for tennis camp. And I remember thinking, I'll write a check. And then I'd go to the office in the morning and be like, fuck, if I move money here, then that check will clear. And then if I move money here, then that check will clear. And
right.
And I don't stress about money, but I did when I was young. I actually didn't a lot when I was younger either.
You never, I feel like you never did that. Like, I feel like your vibe was like, I'll figure it out.
I think that's how I've always felt about money is like, it's why I've always lived modestly, meaning like our house before, very, very, very modest. And I remember people coming there and being like, this is really small. And I'd be like, yeah, but I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Like I didn't have to, our payment was like nothing. And I remember, so I've always lived like that. So I think that's why I would stress. I remember one time I bought $3,000 worth of cigars and a humidor one time. And I put it in my car and I went, what did I just fucking do?
Like, how did you get suckered in it? With someone you know, like a big cigar guy, is like, well, you got to buy this.
Brought me down, looked at the cigar, and he goes, you need a humidor. Get it? What? What's the dot, dot, dot? And the guy goes, well, I got one. He was like, bring it out. Brings it out, opens it up. I was like, oh, it's fucking nice. He goes, this is beautiful. This is the one you want. And I go, I'll take it. He goes, well, now we got to fill it up with cigars. And I was like, nice.
You're like, over time. Yeah, we can do it later. Yeah, we'll get to it as time goes on. It's like, no, get Cubans in there now, all of them.
I filled it top to bottom and didn't even fucking treat it. And they all just fucking went dead. It was like the worst investment.
You lost all the cigars immediately.
Dude, I tried to race through them because they started drying out. And then I was smoking like two a day. And I'm just like living in the Hollywood Hills like, oh, fuck.
You're that guy.
I wish I could be the guy that didn't have a problem spending money. Like the guys that go I'd say the name. I'll say the name. I'm going to say this guy. God damn it. I don't have anything to write on. I'll say the name. I'll show you the name. But like, is rude even to do. Because people are going to guess who it is.
Maybe they won't. That's how bad I want you to do it. I'm like, just do it. Right, let's see. Okay, yeah.
Some people can spend money and they legit, I sit and go, how much money do you make?
I think about that all the time. Like, you have that?
Yeah.
You have that? That's crazy. I don't know enough about it because I was never good at it. When I was a kid, my parents were always like, you know, they made it seem like it was always tight. You know what I mean? Like always.
Yeah.
But they're okay. They were always fine. Like they both had good jobs. Like they were fine. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't anything to, you know, we never lived we never took like extravagant vacations. We never did any of that shit, but we lived fine.
We never took extravagant vacations once.
We never took regular fucking vacations.
We went to Orlando, we went to Key West. Those were our two vacations.
Yeah, Florida. That's where Midwest people go to.
Orlando and Key West.
Yeah. We go down to Florida and then, you know, my little sister, we went to Disneyland or some shit. I mean, it was like...
We never even went to Disney. We would go to Orlando to go to Disneyland, and my dad would be like, guys, the hotel's so
much nicer. You can look at it. It's right there. Yeah, it's right across the street.
They don't have water slides at Disneyland, okay?
Yeah, no, we never had any of that shit. But I honestly, like, for me, when we were joking with Whitney before this, when she was saying, like, you know, what would it take to get you out? Like, you know, obviously, like, I'm stoked where I'm at right now. There's that weird moment in time where you're like, I don't know if I can just keep doing this. I'll feel good for the rest of my life. I'm sure that's not how life works, but you're like, God, I'm in like a great little nugget where like I like what's going on. I like doing the show that I'm doing. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to feel this for a long time.
That's interesting you say that. I think the older you get, the more you start having a legit fear of death.
Are you scared of dying?
I'm terrified.
You know why? Because you like living.
I love it.
Yeah, you're like I want to live guy.
I want to live forever.
I know. If they invent something to make you live forever, you're taking it.
Yeah.
Is Leanne taking it?
No.
No, she's out.
She can't wait to die.
Yeah.
She can't wait to
die. She's like, I got to get out of this nightmare.
She's like, no, that's part of the circle of life.
Right.
You just gonna, honey, getting old. She won't get any plastic surgery. She won't get any, like,
that's
nothing,
good.
Nothing.
That shit, you don't need any
no,
of that.
No, but
shit.
I mean, not saying that I've asked her, but like, I remember like I have sunspots on my face, like right here, mm-hmm. like right here. And I go, I want to get them removed. And she goes, no, that's part of the beauty of getting old. That shows everyone you've lived.
Yeah.
You did work on Travel Channel. I go, I don't want that tattooed on my fucking face.
That's the first thing people think of.
9 years in the sun. Yeah. This is the first thing people see when they go,
Travel Channel. Is this what this is from? Yeah. No, you got to have kind of janky teeth. I said that to somebody yesterday. I don't trust people with really, really nice teeth.
Yeah.
If you have perfect teeth, I'm always like, that's weird. You don't have any chips or stains or crowns or cavities or like, when I meet people that have, and they're not veneers, when they just have normal, from when they were teenagers, they got braces and they took care of them constantly. I'm always like, nah, I don't trust. You don't have fun.
Yeah.
You've never missed at brushing your teeth. You've never gotten a cavity. You've never chipped it on a crawfish shell like I did in Louisiana. I was high on mushrooms. I chipped this front tooth. It chipped.
For real?
On a crawfish shell.
How are you doing that?
Oh, bro. We were lit up out of our heads. We were out there for my buddy's bachelor party. And we did a boil. But I got way too baked during the day. Like, I was too stoned and too drunk. And we had eaten mushrooms. And I was like, I was too deep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Should not have been. I should have functioned a little bit better.
Uh-huh.
But then they had a crawfish boil. And I thought we were going to eat earlier. So I anticipated everything not really kicking in till after the meal. But, dude, it took so long for the crab boil. Like, I was, like, waiting. And I was kept getting baked.
It's like the first time I took a Xanax, they were like, we're going to have to delay our fight by 2 hours. And next thing you know, I pass out on the Dallas-Fort Worth floor in like the, just on the tile, and the plane just left without
zonked.
Me. Yeah. I was like, I took my Xanax too early.
Yeah. You missed the window. Yeah. I was like planning for the window. It didn't work. And then I was too messed up. And then they had dumped out, you know, they had dumped out all the crawfish boil. And I knew, even looking at it, I was like, I can't eat right now. Like, I'm not in a good mind state to eat. I was way too high and drunk.
Yeah.
But I was like, I really want something. I haven't eaten all day. And like the second or third one I grabbed and cracked, because crawfish are like, they're annoying. They're so small. Yeah. There's not enough meat.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
It sucks. So I'm like cracking and I'm not really paying attention. I'm talking to my buddy, Sean, and I put one in my mouth and like, I'm so high, I can feel me being like, you know how to eat, but I like bit down as hard as I could, dude. And immediately I was like, fuck. And I looked at him. I was like, my tooth. And in my mind, I was like, my whole tooth had been out of my head. You know, the whole tooth is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I go to the bathroom. It's a small little chip, but it's the bottom of my tooth. So you can see it and feel it. And I was so fucking pissed. Cause
that's
I was
so
like,
funny. I didn't notice it at all. Yeah, now I notice it when you talk about it. Yeah.
And then the next morning when we gone to get breakfast, I was playing with it a lot. Like when you first chip a tooth, you can't stop touching it because because your brain is like, how big is it? Is this bad? Is this going to like be an annoying thing? And I'm playing with it in line. And this dude had, we had gone to like a few days to get like hush puppies or whatever in the morning and coffee. And he was like, he's like, what's up with your mouth? And I was like, what? He's like, what are you doing with your tongue? I was like, oh, I chipped my tooth on a crawfish shell and I was high on mushrooms. He's like, that's New Orleans. And I was like, yeah, that is. That's exactly. That's New Orleans. I was like, that is exactly right. I was like, thank you. Because yeah. I was like, it's embarrassing. He's like, no, no, no. That's New Orleans. That's yeah. all right. That happens. I was like, yeah. Thank you. Because yeah. all my friends were like, you fucking idiot. You fucking chip your tooth. Who does that? Who buy? But I bit down right through the shell and it cracked immediately. I mean, I knew right away. I was like, fuck, I chipped it. Because I've chipped this one. I've chipped so many of my teeth over the years doing dumb, most of them it's drunk, dumb shit. I hit a glass on my tooth and I chipped it in a bar. A pint glass. My buddy and I were fucking around and I did this and then he pushed me and then chipped this tooth.
Jesus.
Yeah. They're made for chipping, dude. Fuck it.
All my teeth are fake.
All of them?
Yeah, I got hit in the
mouth. Like this. None of those are real.
I got hit in the mouth with a baseball bat when I was a kid. And so they're all fucking...
Dude, I'm sorry, but yeah. of course you got hit yeah, in the mouth. Yeah, of course,
on my 11th birthday.
With an aluminum bat.
Aluminum Bing. Bat, yep. Pass ball, I block it as the catcher. I stand up, guy stealing third. I throw the ball over the dude, from behind the dude, the batter. I throw it behind him, throw him out, and the guy trying to break up the play brings the bat back and hits me in the teeth.
It knocked out how many?
I mean, it fucked up.
Like a dozen?
No, no, no. It fucked up all the way, I mean... I couldn't even really tell you because now everything's crowned in there. Right now I only have one. I have five real teeth in my mouth.
That's it.
That's it.
What about your
molars?
Molars, yeah, whatever.
I got bad molars.
Mine are still in there.
No, yeah, mine are in there, but they're these one, two, three on this side are crowned. Wait, I mean, they're all crowned, except for five. So I have two on this side, two on this side, one on right here that aren't crowned. But it was bad. I went into the dentist the other day. I went into the dentist probably like a few months ago, right when my tour ended, my Birdie Boy tour ended, and the dentist was like, I'm going to have to break your jaw. I'm going to have to reset your jaw. Because first of all, I was born without enamel on my teeth. And I was born with a fucked up jaw angle. So I think to save things at an early age, they started crowning things, but then it ground these teeth back down. And then they started getting, which is simple wear and tear to a tooth that doesn't have enamel. This guy didn't know it. And he thought we were just going to break the jaw and then take out all the teeth and then do implants on all my back molars, reset my jaw so that I could have a closed bite because I don't have a closed bite.
Jesus Christ.
It was a nightmare. And then I met this doctor. I was like, don't worry, I can fix it. And he just went.
Yeah, I know. I know. I like that guy better.
Yeah, I like
he was
that
guy. Yeah, fuck that. Figure it out.
Oh, he's from like fucking Guatemala or Peru. He was like, in our village, this isn't a problem. Like,
I don't have a license. But
yeah, I take out the donkey's tooth.
We're going to figure it out.
Yeah, we go to.
I'll tie you to my car and we'll pull and it'll just make your jaw come forward.
He said to me, I want to do his accent right. He goes, okay. Here's what we're going to do, okay? Oh,
but that's perfect, by the way.
This glass, this is fire, okay? We're going to get so close to the fire until we feel the heat. No Novocaine. You ready? And I went, hold on.
Yeah.
Wait, what are we doing?
And now, juice me up.
Don't worry. If it hurts, you tell me. And so he takes a fucking drill and just starts drilling in one of my molars. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you feel? And I was like, no. You feel? I said, no. And he goes, that's good. And they just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper. And then I didn't feel it. And then he was like, this tooth is good. We got it. Next tooth. And then he goes.
So he's drilling deeper. Without any kind of numbness, nothing.
Numbness, no nothing. Just drilling holes in my teeth. And
dude,
then
you're the only guy. You're like the guy that can do that. I'm like, shoot my fucking face up. I want to feel nothing.
Well, the next one. So then he found a raw nerve. I'd had this hole in my back of my tooth that I wasn't fixing. And what had happened is, the gums had grown out of the hole.
What?
It was insane. It was insane. Then he had to cut out all the gums. Didn't feel it.
Ugh.
Didn't feel it. Oddly enough, didn't feel
how,
it.
How, dude? How?
And then he found a nerve sticking out, and he goes, "Yeah, we got to get rid of this.
We got to cut this.
This nerve.
Like
needs
like
to go.
Snipping a piece of thread on a shirt.
I can't
too long.
Do that. I got a buddy who can do it in about 5 minutes. Okay. And so we went to this other guy. It was a fucking shit show day. And then next thing you know, we go back, and then we go back like a week later. And then when you were talking about something weird, I had this tooth, the veneer had come off on fully loaded. I was biting into a cigar or the bonding, the front of the bonding. And he puts it back on and he goes, he's like, you have a lot of plaque back there on that tooth. I'm cleaning the plaque off. So he takes the plaque off. There was so much plaque. It feels like it felt like a different tooth. It felt like
are you not brushing enough?
No, I don't. I haven't gone to the dentist in 10 years, so I don't get my teeth cleaned.
10 years?
10 years.
Oh, bro.
Yeah.
We got to up it.
No.
When was the last time you went to a doctor?
Every fucking night. Last week.
Wait, why?
I go to the doctor all the time.
Just to make sure you're still good.
All the time. I go to the doctor.
Checking in.
Probably. I would say every 9 months. I have been to the doctor this year, probably every 3 months.
What for?
I was at the doctor in April. And then I was in, this was my last, it was December, then April, then right now, this last week.
Because you're scared of something or just because you're checking in?
I go in, I think I'm always going in just making sure everything's okay.
And what are they, when they run your vitals, they're like, you're fine?
To the point where I go, I think your machine might be broken. I was like, because my blood pressure, when they do it with their hearing, uh-huh. I'm like, 120 over 9, 85, you're perfect. And then 120 over 70, you're perfect. And I'm like, that's not what I get at home.
No, at home, you test yourself.
I test myself every day. I tested it today.
Are you a hypochondriac?
Yes, I am. But I definitely have strokes and heart attacks run in my family. So I test my blood pressure every day. Today it was 120 over 85.
I don't even know if that's good. I have no idea about numbers.
For real?
I don't know what I am.
Do you want to take your blood pressure right now?
Sure. I know I have a slow heart rate.
Do you really?
Yeah, super slow, like 50. I'm going to get something from my car real fast.
What are you looking for?
I got you something, just for fun. I have a bit this, because I was like, this guy's a hat guy.
Yeah.
So I signed a hat for you, see? What a sweetheart.
Oh, what a sweetheart.
What a sweetheart. Display it. Put it on display.
Oh, look at this.
You know, and that's going to be worth something someday.
That will be.
Yeah, someday it'll be worth something.
Your signature's already too long. You're going to lose your mind.
I know. You know what's so funny? I used to just do my AS, like just AS.
That's what you should do.
I know, but no, that's not true. I don't know who told me this story. God, I wish I remember what celebrity it was. Oh, it was a golfer or something like that. And he had said he had watched someone else sign. Like it was like Jack Nicklaus. It was one of those guys. And he was like, why are you signing like that? And the guy's like, what do you mean? He's signing golf balls and signing shirts. And he's like, no, come on, man. That kid took the time to take time out of his day to ask you for his autograph. Make it so he can read it when he gets home. And I like remembered that years and years ago. And wow. I was like, oh, I should sign my whole name. So I almost always sign my whole name. That's because, dude, it's weird when you go sign a thing. Like, I just did a charity event. And we signed guitars like that, acoustics. And 90% of the signatures, I was like, you can't fucking read any of these. Nobody knows who any of it is.
That's interesting. I made the mistake of signing my name, Bert.
Yeah.
So my signature and my autograph are not the same.
Right, right. I know. Right, same.
But I still am pretty much a Bert person. So I don't write the Kreischer, I wrote Bert, and then I write the machine underneath it. And it drives me nuts when I have signed a ton of autographs. I go, I should have just written Bert.
Or just the machine, or machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Bert's enough. Let me see.
All right, so this goes on your right arm. Right here.
This goes what? Right here, right?
Right, yeah. Slide it over to the dead center. Slide it over to dead center.
This?
Yep, perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. I'm going to put you into player two.
Dude, look at how nice your nails are. Are you nuts?
I just got them done yesterday.
Jesus Christ.
I've
never done that before.
For real?
Yeah, look at how shitty my fingers are.
All right.
I play golf too much. My hands get all torn up.
I just got them done yesterday because we're going to Italy and the girls were getting theirs done.
You want to look like a fancy boy.
These are acrylic, I think. Not acrylic. Here, let's see. I can tell you before your blood pressure is done if it's going to be good. It's going to be I'm going to say 135 over 85.
Okay.
I take mine so much that I can tell by the top what number it stops at, and then I can tell the way it's dancing here where it's at.
What is it?
134 over 75.
134 over 75.
I said 134 over, what did I say? 134 over 70, 85?
Oh, I'm high blood pressure.
Yeah, you're high. Well, you're not. Well, these are all weird to look at because
I like it.
140, 140 is hypertension. So you're not 140. And by the way, you didn't train for this. So like, and this end, by the way, it's towards the end of the day. There's so many factors in this.
I was just going to say, and I haven't eaten in a while.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't worry about that. But your fucking heart rate's 58.
58. See, it's usually lower. It's usually like 50.
Segura's is like 42.
Yeah, mine's usually like in the high 40s or 50s.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned about this at all.
What's your heart rate?
It's 65 is my resting heart rate.
Yeah, I've almost never been over 60 in my life, and I thought that was weird.
And you drink?
Oh, yeah. But I like to run a lot.
Me too. And
so
I
when
work
you
out.
Run, it usually makes your heart rate go lower.
My heart rate has gotten really good since I've been working out really hard lately.
Yeah.
But my heart rate, that's what's lowered my blood pressure. 135, they say, is pre-hypertension, stage one. But I wouldn't worry about that because it's late in the day. This is my dad always says
I got high blood pressure. I'm going to die soon.
You're probably, if you want to take your blood pressure in the morning before you take your meds. That's how you take
your
blood pressure.
Yeah, first thing in the morning is when you take
it. First thing in the morning, and I guarantee you'd be 120 over fucking 69. You have great blood pressure.
Less than 80.
How do your people in your family die?
My dad is still alive, which is miraculous because he spent like 20 or I don't even know how many years like on drugs, using
what?
Drugs. Yeah. Yep. In prison.
What?
Prison guy.
Yeah. How did I not know any of this?
Yeah, my dad was an addict, is an addict. I mean, he's been sober for a long time, but was in prison when I was a kid for drugs.
Really?
Yeah, not for anything. Like, he didn't do anything to anyone. He just couldn't get off the fucking...
What was it? Cocaine?
Loved
to
toot, dude. Yeah, really? Loved cocaine. Yeah.
Really?
And I'm sure everything else. Once you start, what else is it, you know? But he's alive and well and hasn't died yet. His dad died at 94. My grandmother died of a massive stroke and heart attack, and she was huge. She was a big lady. She was as big as this dude. She was bigger than this fucking table.
Really?
She used to wear muumuus every day. You know,
really?
Yeah, dude, every day. She's just a big, big old lady, dude. She just, all she did was smoke cigarettes inside, drink coffee, eat pastries. I never saw her like walk in the neighborhood. Never.
Really?
I never saw my grandmother outside of the house. My grandfather was the polar opposite. He was skinny as a rail. He worked, you know, had like three jobs. He was a hustler. He worked at the dog track and at the horse track.
Your parents' parents?
This is my dad's parents. My mom's parents. My parents' parents. My mom's parents are dead.
Work.
Yeah, that's my parents' parents. My mom's mom just died at 91. And my grandfather died, like a decade ago. But he died from lung cancer because he was a firefighter who smoked.
So you have great genetics.
Pretty good, man. Like, everyone in my family is pretty fit. Like, my sister eats dog shit. Dog shit. Drinks, parties. She's the best. But is in phenomenal shape and
really?
Works out sometimes.
How much do you weigh?
195.
And you're 6'1"?
6'1", yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, it's fine. But my whole family's like that. It's deceiving where you're like, everyone's in pretty good shape, but your inside's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why you go to the doctor, because you're money you never know.
I just got tested for colon cancer. Like, because I was like, you never know. Cancer's a weird thing that if it's not in your family, if it's not the thing people in your family die from, you're probably not going to get it.
Yeah.
I think they're saying cancer is like pretty much genetic, meaning like...
It's got to be.
Because it's like people get cancer that don't do bad shit to their body. They still get cancer. Kids get fucking cancer.
Yeah, what is that about?
Ooh.
What is that about? What are you doing if there's a God? Yeah, when kids get it and shit like that, like I did that charity thing for St. Jude's. I do a bunch of those things for them. You got to come, dude. You got to come golf.
Fuck St. Jude's.
Really? Are they shit?
Dude, I mean, I've said this before. I've donated to them before, but I did Guy's Grocery Games Challenge, and I get donated like $15,000 to St. Jude's, which is what you win. And I was like, they're my charity. And then never heard from it. Like, never heard anything. You know, it was on television.
They give you the love that
It's like one thing, I give them $15,000. That's one thing. But I'm talking about St. Jude's on
all right, well, that's it. I'm not doing it ever again.
And I wear a St. Jude miraculous medal. I'm like a St. Jude dude. This medal saved my life. Like, the way this St. Jude means so much to me. Then I come up with that, you know, the waitstaff raffle.
Yeah.
I start doing that. And then we said, hey, we should pair with a charity and like really make this a big thing. And so I said, you know, let's do St. Jude's. I'll match. I'll give to St. Jude's. And they said, no, thank you. We don't want to be associated with you. And
why?
Because of alcohol. Like, because I'm a comic and I talk dirty and I was like,
shit.
And I was just like,
big
what?
Bummer.
I was like, so bummed. And my managers and agents were like, we reached out. There's like companies like that, like Combos. Fucking Combos was cool as fuck. I made a viral tweet about them and it went viral. And then they hit me up. They were really cool. They were like, dude. And this isn't the people that run the company. This is the dudes that run their social media.
Yeah, the marketing guys.
The marketing guys. They're like, dude, we haven't gone viral ever. You just took us viral. How can we pay you back? And I said, just Combos. I love Combos. Send me Combos. They sent literally cases of like so many combos to my house that that's all we ever had on the podcast was combos. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, and then, you know, agents, managers are like, what would you do if you could do anything? What would you do with combos? And I said, how about a combos comedy tour where you take two different types of comic, put them together, combos.
Combo, baby.
All we're asking is combos to throw product on the thing. Maybe kick each of the comics, match what the club will pay them, you know, whatever. So, right. Like, so like each comic walks with $5,000, but you, you know, which, you know, is more for a weekend than we were getting paid back in the day.
Yeah.
Maybe $10,000. Oh, that'd be great. Not, it's a drop in the bucket for the company, but more importantly, it's good branding. Two different flavors.
Combos, comedy tour.
Yeah.
Where are you at, combos?
And they said, no, thank you. We don't want to work with you. The hire's up. I'll tell you, I'm going to write the name down because I don't want to fucking burn this to the bridge.
Also, by the way, I do love combos. I still fuck with them.
I fucking love combos.
What do you go to? What, pepperoni?
Oh, no, buffalo and buffalo.
Really? That's your, that's the best, huh?
Buffalo blue cheese.
I still think pepperoni pizza is my favorite. Spicy honey mustard is good, but it's not as good as...
this company right here.
Oh, yeah.
basically said, within a breath, you're friends with Joe Rogan. We don't want to work with you.
Really?
They
took a stance on that?
They weren't. Not they. It was one young fucking cunt in their fucking on their fucking team that clearly has a problem with Rogan and decided to speak their mind in this meeting. And I immediately was like,
I have to know something because now I have to look up because I want to say what boggles my mind is when someone says something like
well, you know what, you know why, right? You know why. That's not a pen, that's a vape pen. Jesus.
I don't want to say the.
It's because of this person.
Oh yeah.
And by the way, I've been such a fan of this company for so long. I had a big plan to do something with them, and got on a phone call. Everyone's like, "Bam, bam, bam! This is gonna be great. This is gonna be great. Awesome to work with you. Can't wait to do something."
Yeah.
And then this person came out with some very aggressive, like, is this about money? What do you want from, do you want money from us? And I was like, whoa, this is, and in my head, I'm like, well, yeah, I always take money. And then this person was like, how do you feel about dot, dot, dot? And I went, I don't think about it.
Doesn't exist to you?
Yeah. I'm like, you're bringing up, I don't know. I definitely would never bring that up randomly.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, and they just very aggressively said some things about people that listen to this podcast, people that listen to Rogan's podcast, assuming things about them that wasn't accurate. Mm-hmm. And at one point I said, actually, I'm kind of offended right now. I'll be very honest. I'm offended by the way you're, it's just a crazy thing. It's like me saying to you, what if I said to you about, like, you hate black people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why, tell me why you're friends with someone who said some weird things about black people. And you're like, hold on, the fuck are you doing? I hate, who the fuck says that to any human being?
But I do, for the record. It's just like, but they'll clip that. They'll use that. Be like, he wasn't even kidding. He wasn't joking at all when he said, no, but that's the dude, context is lost completely. But we're also getting like, the snake is eating its own tail, which I like to say a lot now because you see people like, the people that throw the stones the hardest, they don't look at themselves ever, ever, ever. They don't want to see when they make mistakes. And when you get self-righteous about stuff, like nothing makes me laugh harder than, I had a tweet one time that Brennan Neal hit me up, was like, that was great. Because when people were like deleting Uber off their phone because the CEO was, do you remember this, dude? It was like, people were deleting Uber like 8 years ago or something because something about like they had funded a...
Hamas.
Yeah. No, they funded maybe like it was like an anti-gay marriage thing or something, whatever. Like someone in the company had donated to a thing that went, whatever the case. But then people were like, get it off your fucking phone, delete Uber. And of course, now everyone still uses it. But I was like, how self-righteous that people are like, delete Uber. Yeah, see that, delete Uber. What was it about? 200,000 people leave their Uber after a weekend outrage. I don't remember what it was about.
I can't pronounce one of the people's names.
Prathan Churagasagam, Vam. Yeah, 2017. There you go. Donald Trump announced his travel ban. The ban was protest included. Whatever the fuck it was. My point is, I was like, people are so, you know, like everyone's so like self-righteous and indignant about being like, delete Uber. I'm like, yeah, delete Uber off your phone made by Chinese slave kids. Like,
yeah.
How fucking righteous are you? Your clothes are made by children in a factory. Sorry, most of them. These are made by kids, dude. And it's detrimental. So you're like, you're mad at the Uber guy for some political shit, whatever. But this kind of stuff's okay. Whenever somebody gets picky about that, I'm always like, nah, dude, all your shit, everything we do has a bad root to it. I'm sorry.
The second you throw a rock,
Yeah.
It's shattering something.
Yes, dude.
I don't say, I try. I'm even this is how not aware I am, because I'm not entirely aware, but this is how aware I am of what I just said. I won't say that I don't say anything, because I know that I've said stuff.
Right.
Like, but that's why I'm like, I try to stay out of it, because I go, like, I've had tweets where I start, I remember I lit up Anthony Bourdain. Mm. This is when I was on Travel Channel. Mm. I was on Travel Channel.
You're like, I hope this guy dies in the next couple of years.
I was, you know, drunk, and I'm sitting on Twitter. I must have been, it was when he was still alive. And I was a big fan of Anthony Bourdain, and he's posted a picture of him about to get on a private jet. And I just got, I don't know why. I don't know if it was because I failed at Travel Channel. I don't know, whatever the real reason.
Yeah.
I came after him.
It's never the thing. It's something behind it.
It's not really, like, I don't really, I just was like, what the fuck, dude?
So what did you say?
I was like, when did, see if you can type in Bert Anthony Bourdain private jet. I'm pretty sure I deleted it. I'm sure someone had to have screen grabbed it.
Someone's got it.
There's no way. I deleted it immediately, because I was like, great, I guess all our heroes are dead or something. When Anthony Bourdain is bragging that he's on a private jet. So there was like something about him being punk rock. I was like, dude, the fuck's wrong with Anthony Bourdain? We've lost Anthony Bourdain or something like that. I hit send. 30 seconds later, there is a picture of me bragging I'm on a private jet. I thought I'd never flown on a private jet. I really thought I've never flown on a private jet. I'm not guilty.
Anthony Bourdain has no idea what Twitter is.
Go back to
that. Was probably what you tweeted after you said it.
This is June 10th.
Yeah, that's after you said it. Oh, first.
This is June 10th.
So 12 years ago, you took shots at fucking Anthony Bourdain.
12 years ago, I took shots at Anthony Bourdain.
Like it, yeah, heart it.
And then, no. And then immediately, like, someone was like, so you're saying you'd never take pictures of yourself on a private jet? And I was like, I've never been on a private jet, and I never would. And then within seconds, someone was like, here's you on a private jet, taking pictures with cash out. Mm. Like, going like, hey. Real. And by the way, type in Burt private jet, all you'll see. It's fun. When you go to a private jet, it's such a treat. You're like, I'm not hiding this. This is the coolest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Everyone does it. And who was I to brag? Look, there's me all in matching tracksuits. There's me with Mark Hamill. There's me with Tom. I mean, I'm like, all I do is take pictures on a private jet.
But fuck Anthony Bourdain.
That was it. There's a picture of me with these girls, but that's the private jet. That's the private jet.
Who are these? People from Travel Channel?
Trip Flip. Yeah, it's from Trip Flip. And so
Travel Channel gave you put you guys on a private jet?
Well, twice, and it was two of the worst experiences I've ever had.
That's fucking nuts.
They flew us from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine on a private jet. And we were like, nice.
Oregon to Maine?
Oregon to Maine.
No, fucking way. That's so far.
Nice. Five stops.
Oh, you had to fill up. Yeah, because they're small. that's tiny. So funny.
It was tiny. Every private jet I'm in is tiny.
But that version of TV is dead. That kind of money of doing private jet shit, that's fucking gone.
It's gone.
There's no money in TV right now.
What's going on with...
We're doing a new Dave in season 3 in like...
I was about to call it Dickie.
Yeah, it could be.
My bus driver loves...
Oh, what's his name? What's your dude's name? I see
Ron. Yeah, Ron. Loves little Dickie.
Wait, you guys race? You foot raced him, right?
Yeah.
And you fucked him up.
He beat me.
Oh, he won?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you won.
He's a fat fuck, too. Yeah, not anymore. Now he's skinnier than I am. You know what's so funny? We got on a bus one time for a hot summer's night, and we all get our COVID tests, and we get all the fucking results, and we're like, great, we're ready to go. Yeah, this is him fucking lighting
smoking
me up. Here, wait. Listen to this.
Ron,
this
is you up? Him.
Well, I had just gone jogging.
Don't. I had no just excuses. Worked out,
and he's like, I bet I could beat you in a... But this, mind you, I want everyone to know, and Ron will deny that he's my employee, but the money does come from me. He gets paid by the bus company, but I pay the bus company. He goes, no, I go, technically you're my employee. Technically I employ you.
Yeah.
He denies that, but this is technically my employee talking to me at work, okay?
I bet $1,000, all the money in my fucking pocket, that fat boy right here can't beat me in a foot race right now. Put your sneakers on.
I mean, he said nothing incorrect. That's the problem.
Yeah, but this is...
He stands by his... Yeah, he's fat, too.
Well, in this picture, he's lost a lot of weight. And I'll tell you why when we get done this.
I know I'm going to win, but I'm legit nervous right now.
Jesus as the judge.
Bert and Ron are about to have a foot race, which looks to be, what he would say, 40 yards, man?
Yeah.
About 40 yards. If either one of them pulls a hamstring, this tour is over. Bert's the headliner. Ron's the only person who can drive the bus. No one on this tour should be racing, but the people who would it would be safe to be racing would be me and Dave.
If you win, I give you your $100 back.
Gentlemen, on your mark.
See, if we had started this race, I would have won.
Go!
Ron.
Stop, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I don't know if that was a false start.
It wasn't. It wasn't.
Oh, you're behind.
Look at the way he runs. Those little legs.
Oh, bro.
Oh, shit!
That's nuts.
Oh, shit!
Oh, my God.
It's a photo finish, though, dude.
What the fuck I'm talking about, baby?
Let me see a replay.
Oh, here we go with the bullshit. Oh, you got me,
I paid $1,000.
And your winner is Ron!
Ron got that money, didn't he?
Yeah, but here's what's interesting. This is what's fascinating. So we get on the bus to do this, and I take Ron's blood pressure as a lark. Uh-huh. I'm ballparking it right now. 190 over 120.
He's dead. He's like, literally dead.
He's like, is that good? We're like, is that good?
Yeah.
I go, Ron, that's really bad.
Ron, it's great. It's great if you want to be a corpse in like an hour and a half. It's amazing.
I go, it's really bad, buddy. And he goes, so what are we going to do? I said, I'm getting you on blood pressure medicine immediately.
Is he losing weight now?
So we get him. So I call Stacy, who runs kind of Birdie Boy Productions.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, you need to get Ron a doctor's appointment on the phone with someone tomorrow morning. We need to get him on blood pressure medicine tomorrow morning. He needs to be on blood pressure medicine. So he does all the things, get it set up, gets on blood pressure medicine, and then immediately starts taking care of himself because he's like, oh, shit, I was going to have a stroke. Like, I could have had a stroke or a heart attack very easily.
For sure.
Then they're like, oh, you're pre-diabetic. And he's like, oh, shit. So then he just, I tell him, I go, switch to diet Mountain Dew. It's just as fucking good.
He's drinking Mountain Dew all day long.
He's drinking Mountain Dew all day long. Just Mountain Dew. Switches to diet Mountain Dew. Now he's skinnier than me, and all he does is fucking make fun of me because I'm fat.
Is he going to be your bus driver again?
He'll be my bus driver forever.
For the rest of your life?
He pulled a gun on me, and I still be my bus driver.
What?
Yeah, he pulled a gun on me. Type in Ron pulls a gun on Bert. See if you can find it.
Why?
You never saw this?
No. Why the fuck did he pull a gun on you?
Because, well, he'll say because I had a taser and that I brought a taser to a gunfight.
Did you bring a taser?
I did have a taser, and I was going to tase him. And then he pulled a gun on me.
Does he travel with a gun on the bus?
I should say no.
Yeah, but yeah.
Ron's not big into looking into the law too heavily.
Yeah, but that's who you want as your bus driver.
Yeah, Ron's.
I want someone doing this. He's like down for the family.
He's the best, man. We got in New York. Some guy was like trying to get on the bus or like say something, and Ron got out and legit shirt off. Hands up.
Ready to go.
Let's go, motherfucker. And the guy was like, oh, shit, I'm about to fight.
You can't take people's instinct away from him like that.
This is bad. I don't know what I said to Yo Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz. Fuck.
Let's see.
I'm sure it's bad.
Our bus driver, Ron, thinks he can kick your asses. We're coming through Stockton. See you there.
He did say he could beat both their asses.
Dude, they would annihilate him.
They're
nuts. Dude, those dudes are nuts. They're bred from the streets. Those dudes are insane. You see the way that they fight.
Ron's never been knocked out?
No, Diaz. Ron's probably not been knocked out either. He's got that fucking thing on his hip. When you see Nate Diaz get hit in the head over and over and over and over again, he doesn't even stumble. It's like creepy to watch. You're like, oh, this is not even a person anymore.
So one MMA fighter you had to take into a bar because your wife cheats on you. How about this? Your wife gets roofied. He doesn't do anything to her, but roofied by a guy who missed his opportunity, right?
Okay.
All of a sudden, some people walked in, they see him, he runs out, they grab your wife, they're like, what happened? She's unconscious. She comes home, she's like, that guy's in the bar with his friends. And all of a sudden, Rogan texts, he's like, I'm happy to be down the street with every MMA fighter. Would you like me to send one over to you to go confront this guy?
Yeah.
What one MMA fighter do you take with you?
Oh my God. That's so hard. I mean, obviously, I'm going to go with the heavyweight without a doubt. You got to go with the top weight class.
Okay.
Smaller guys, fine. They can punch you a bunch, but I want a guy who's like two or three hits are going to fucking just, you know what I mean? Like a young Cormier, I would have taken, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right now, currently,
I mean, John Jones would be
John
fun.
Jones would be super fun. I mean, yeah, you got to take a heavyweight. Francis Ngannou. Ngannou would fucking, yeah. Someone that would just like disconnect
someone's
face.
Or hang on. Hang on about this. Think about this. What Stylebender's weight? He's like middleweight?
Yeah, he's middleweight. He's like one.
It would be fun to have a Stylebender in there to get 4 or 5 punches off before anyone knew what was going on.
I guess I just want same way Tyson-esque, like when Tyson would land one solid punch and it was so hard, you knew it like shook the guy's fucking history out of his head.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see like one, such a good one punch that you're like, dude, he knocked that kid back like 4 years.
Joe Schilling.
Joe Schilling, easily in any bar.
Joe Schilling would be, because I've watched that guy fucking knock that guy out of the bar. It would be fun if you could, like, I guess I think I'm about to pitch you Bully Beatdown.
Yeah, I'm an executive. Yeah. Give it to me.
I'm about to pitch you this.
They were bullied when they were young, and now you can get revenge. What was his name that ran that? That was Mayhem.
Mayhem.
Show. Yeah.
Mayhem. Jason Miller.
I've seen him around. He's around a ton.
I run into him every now at the clubs. He comes around comedy clubs
all the time.
Yeah. It would be fun to have the abilities of one of these fighters. I think I wouldn't handle it responsibly.
Yeah, nobody would. That's the problem. Like, you have to have so much coaching around you, or you just live remotely. Like, you live in the middle. I would live in, like, you know, like Reykjavik. You ever been to Iceland?
No.
So cool, dude.
For real?
Oh, I loved it. I went to interview the Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Oh, God.
Strongest man in the world.
I thought you were like, I was like, how many drugs were you on?
I know.
How long have you been here?
I went to Reykjavik for the sports show, and we were there for like.
How big's the mountain?
I mean, it's honestly comical. You're like, that. It doesn't look like a real guy.
Really?
Look up the stats of the mountain. And then you see his wife, and no disrespect, but you're like, he must destroy this. She's such a tiny little person. He's a fucking moose, dude. And he took me to his gym, Jakobol. And he takes me to this fucking gym, and it looked like a bunch of fucking guys fresh out the clink.
Really?
Lifting with him. On the wall, he had this sign that said, no Armenyar, which means no pussies. And he was like, you have to lift with us. And I was like, we're shooting a show. 6'9", 400 pounds.
Jesus Christ. He just got ripped too, didn't he?
Yeah, dude.
Like, he just lost a bunch of weight to get shredded for a fucking MMA fight.
Yeah, he did. Dude, he's the fucking man. Look at his wife. Look at how tiny she is next. All right, dude. Think what you will. I mean, holy fuck.
He'd put a dent in my wife, and my wife's bigger than that.
Dude, look at how big that dude is. Look at how small his wife is. When I met her, I almost felt bad for her. I was like, oh, man, what does he do?
A lot of blowjobs.
It's kind of
like, oh, suck it again. Yeah, yeah. Unhinges her jaw like a snake.
I mean, dude, yeah, he made me work out with them, but made me actually work out with them. Not like fake we're on TV shit. Like, you have to work out. So I did a fucking hour and a half workout with these guys, and I was fucking pissed. I was exhausted. He was like, more. And I was like, dude, I can't. I can't fucking lift like you. It's impossible.
Look at him shredded.
Holy fuck.
He's still 6'9 in that picture.
6'9, and at that point, he's probably 320? Yeah, 325. I mean, dude, he was such a cool dude, man. Such a fucking dope dude. He taught me how he throws kegs. Have you ever seen them do like keg throws and all that stuff?
Yeah, I've talked about
him. I do them all the time. He taught me how to do it and how like his technique is. I mean, it's like, it's the same thing when you go to a professional athlete and watch, like when you watch BP at a baseball and you're like, holy fuck, the way that these guys can hit and how they control the way that, how it comes off the bat and where it goes and distances and aiming. It's the same thing with this dude. The way he threw a keg was comical. It looked like a cartoon.
Really?
I mean, it was like 30 feet in the fucking air. It was nuts, dude. Wow. So 123 from 400, still nuts.
I worked out with Martin Ford. Type that in. I did leg day with this guy.
Oh, dude. No thanks.
Look at this guy. He's probably, I don't know if he's 6'9". See how tall he is.
So juiced, by the way.
I'm certain.
Look at those shoulders. They look like they got put on. Like, it's like He-Man. Like you, like they attached them afterward. 3'10", 6'8".
Yeah.
All right, so almost as big as my workout partners, but that's all right.
He was so much fun to be around. He was the funniest, goofiest, silliest guy.
Like lighthearted, this dude, huh?
So fun. And then once you get into the gym, all that changes. And he is like, he's supposed to fight that Hulk. Look at that Hulk guy. Look at the Hulk guy next there. That guy.
Nah, dude. Why?
Yeah, of course I know. But he's supposed to fight him. And I think what happened is that guy, the Iranian Hulk's photoshopped. So like, that's not real pictures. It's photoshopped.
Well, look, they have a real picture of him right there.
Where?
Down on the left. Isn't that real? Right there, down. Go down. Isn't that real? That's real, right?
No, he...
That's fake?
It's all photoshopped. So, like, apparently he met him and he's just a very fat guy.
That looks photoshopped.
That definitely looks photoshopped.
That looks like what it looks like.
Yeah, that looks what it is. Like, I think there's a belly there. I think there's a lot of soft left tit. Not to talk shit about the Iranian Hulk. I don't know.
No, you are. And you heard it here, Iranian Hulk. Bert wants to fight, so bring it on. At your leisure.
I photoshopped myself in one of those pictures to look big. You can get yourself looking fucking jacked.
I've never manipulated a photo.
Go to my Instagram. Oh, I do it for a joke. I don't do it for real.
No, I know, but like some people manipulate photos for just because they want. They're like, why not make it look a little bit nicer?
I do that with my dick sometimes.
Yeah, you do. You plump it.
I fucking hardcore. And what happens is
that's funny.
Like I've done that. You actually look like a dude. You can look like the dude. That's photoshopped. That one's definitely photoshopped. Like I photoshopped that, it's and people off were losing so much. Their
well,
fucking
dude,
shit.
Hotels. That's fucking ridiculous.
That's photoshopped. But I like I'll do it now. I did one the other day on my Instagram, and everyone's like, "You photoshopped the original one." And I was like, "No, it's just a good angle, motherfucker."
I remember the uncensored version of this picture. You actually was your dick stretched out? Your dick
oh, yeah.
out.
Oh yeah.
And it was fucking disgusting. Wait,
you saw it?
You showed everybody.
I did?
Yeah, of course.
That's always good for the company. That's good company morale. You gotta show the boys your fucking hog. You guys signed NDAs, right?
It was hilarious.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You're fine.
That one, that Houston Improv picture, you can see the tip of my dick in it.
Oh, dude, you can. You can. Go back. Yeah. That's so fun. And that's still up? Yeah. Oh, it's Twitter. Twitter, dude, there's full-on porno on Twitter.
That's Photoshop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can find my balls on Twitter.
It's porno on Twitter. It's so funny. It's like Instagram, I get flagged. Like me and Bobby put up we were like in.
Bobby gets you flagged easy.
Dude, we got flagged. We got flagged, and then I got striked, and then I had someone help me try to like take
that's
it down.
That's my real dick. I was doing a.
That dot looks more true.
I was doing a Instagram, or I was doing a Facebook Live, and I was like, or Instagram Live, and I was like, what's up, everybody? Just hanging in my pool naked. And they're like, you're not naked. And I go, no, I fucking am. And I was like, look. And I looked at the shadow in the pool, and I could see the shadow. So I kind of backed up so that the shadow, you just couldn't see anything on the shadow. And I thought it was the edge of the wall. It was just shadow. You could see my dick so clear. And I was posing naked, and everyone was like, I see your dick. I see your dick.
That got screen grabbed.
What's that?
That got screen grabbed a lot.
Oh, it got screen grabbed a lot. Judy Brown, Judy Marmel, hit me up and was like, get off your phone. You're showing everyone your dick.
Yeah, I saw that you putting your dick in a sock too, doing Josh's thing.
It's so funny. I did that years ago. No one watched it, and then the other day, the guys at
oh, that's new. That's not new.
No, that's
oh, I thought that was. I thought you just did
7 years
it.
Ago.
Oh yeah, I saw it all over. There were pictures all over the internet.
1.2 million.
It's nice that the boys participated, though. Jeremiah's got his dick in there.
Margaret Cho helped us figure out how to keep our dicks in there.
Margaret Cho knows how to tuck dicks in socks, huh?
By the way, that's a fat pubis. That's the one thing I'd get rid of.
The whole time everyone's thinking, they're like, please don't come off. Please sock, don't come off.
That is everyone.
You're like, please.
On the side.
Did you guys rubber band it or anything to make sure it stayed on or
that's
no?
That's how we cock ring rubber banded it.
Right, you cock ring it.
Yeah, KFC, Kevin put
right, he did it. He was just out here.
How many views does that have? 1.2 million? Great. Yeah. Yep. Great.
Huge.
Great.
Keep that rotating. I'm going to retweet that when I get home.
Yeah, KFC put that up. By the way, I got a hit up from, do you ever do Bustin' with the Boys?
I haven't done it. But I mean, I've seen it online, but I haven't done it.
It's
I do
not
it.
What it's hyped up to be.
Why? It's whack? What?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, I'm like, what the fuck?
I got a text from Will and Taylor today. That got me flagged.
100%.
I got a text. I was talking to Whitney. Whitney's like, what five podcasts should I do if I go to New York? And I was, but all they do is they go, okay, you got to do, these are the five best podcasts. But we're talking about New York.
Yeah.
I go, Big Cat, pardon my take.
Right.
KFC Radio, Are You Garbage, fucking you know what I'm going to say.
Schultz.
Yeah, I name out all the best podcasts, and then the Bustin' with the Boys guys hit me up, and they're like, "My heart is broken. You didn't fucking mention us." And I was like, "It wasn't the five best podcasts in the world. Like it was fucking just in New York.
Yeah,
but their podcast is funny shit.
It's good. I've seen some of it.
They got us energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
they have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like there's the rule, like that. Like I think sometimes I was sitting on the toilet the other day and I was laughing at a joke that was super inappropriate and I was like, I bet I could tell that in the special. And then I was like, am I unaware of what's going on in society? Like, am I?
It's better that way.
Yeah. I go,
otherwise, you're thinking too much, dude. I'm about to do a special.
I have to go.
Oh yeah. I do. What time is it? About like 8:10. Oh shit.
What time? What are you gonna do with the wife?
8:30.
What are you gonna do?
Dinner. See this? It's nice, man.
I'll show you inside my house. There's gonna be fighting.
It's a nightmare. Why did you talk to me like that? It's gonna be easy. It'll be nice. No, but I'm about to tape, and honestly, and I haven't taped anything in a long time. And
what are you taping?
I'm taping a special.
Where?
Denver.
Where?
September 24th, Paramount Theater. I don't know when this comes out, but they're about to be on sale. I don't know if the tickets are.
This will be out. I mean, let us know, and they can flip this one in Whitney.
Whenever. I mean, the tickets.
This will be out in August.
Okay, yeah, September 24th, I'm going to be at the Paramount Theater in Denver. We just locked it like the other day. And I'm doing like a quick run of like, I'm doing Salt Lake City, September 9 and 10th to warm up, and I'm going to add other dates. But I'm nervous because I was like, you know, some of the stuff, I'm like, it's so good live. But I'm like, do I want to put this down forever? Is my opinion going to change on any of this shit?
I think
about that all the time. Well, because you're just like, this is a great live joke because it's what's going on right now. And then sometimes I'm like, ugh, am I going to put this down? And then I'm going to be like, why did I say that on fucking, that's embedded forever.
Oh,
I never tape. I never tape, dude. And Netflix wanted me to do that half hour thing. And I was like, nah, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do, I just have not wanted to do any taping. I'm like, I don't really want to. And I should, because every stand-up puts up clips and I just never do. But this is it. I'm going to do this and then throw it out and then.
Well, I mean, it definitely helps selling tickets. It helps, you know, but. I don't know, man. I don't think too much about it. I've said some horrible things. I've said some legit horrible things where like, I mean, the titles of my first CD were like Mexicans, Blacks.
Yeah.
Like that's how I named it.
Well, yeah.
And you look back and you're like, oh, motherfucker. And the jokes, I stand by the jokes because they're jokes.
Yeah.
People can take them out of context.
Well, that's always going to happen. But it's just what's happening now more than ever is just like, I think... I want it to be like...
You should do a joke. You should do a joke where you go, I'm actually, you know, doing this special. I'm nervous. Some of the stuff I'm going to say is going to age poorly. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to write one joke just so that everyone knows I was pretty woke. And you go, so my kid's fucking a robot.
My kid's getting head from a robot. No, I mean, who knows? Maybe it will age poorly. Some stuff that's going on, but you're like, you have to talk shit.
You got to talk to the people today.
Yeah, that's
all you can do. People in the future aren't buying tickets for you because your shows aren't there.
Yeah.
The people that today, right now, that want to hear live comedy, and I'll be telling you really honestly, that when we did Fully Loaded, I was nervous because I was like, I'm bringing people I find funny, but I know for a fact definitely push their edge nonstop. And not one person, including my daughter, who is pretty fucking woke, not one person got offended, got upset. We didn't hear one comment. They fucking loved it.
Yeah, it's usually because it's your fans, right?
No, but that's what people want.
Yeah.
They want to fucking laugh. And the people that get outraged, guess what? They just want to get outraged. And so
it's gonna happen
you can
anyway.
Serve both of them at the same time.
Yeah. I'm going to. All right, before I go, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this. This was a bit. I brought this all this shit for fun for you. First of all, this is a bad friend's tote bag, which is just, I mean, come on, man.
Nice.
Oh, fucking amazing. But here you go. There's a bad friend's shirt. And this is really, how fun is this? Hey guys, this is On It, Liquid IV. No, I brought all of our sponsors.
Oh, shut up. Man, this Liquid IV is great. Five essential vitamins, B12, B5.
No, but I brought a bag of shit for you.
What is this?
This is a little bit of whiskey.
What's Rabbit Hole?
You try it. Harry's, dude, please use that when you shave. Also, funny enough that we talked shit about at the beginning, but I brought
that. Shut up, Tito's? You know all this is going to live right here. What is this?
Yeah.
What is this? Are these glasses?
I don't know. Peel CBD gummies.
Shady Rays?
Shady Rays
is so great.
And a Brad Friend's pin.
Can I tell you what I love about Shady Rays?
Keep that back.
Is they, I don't know if they're a sponsor, But they have a lost or broken policy.
Yeah, they give you back free ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, I brought you a bag of shit because I thought it'd be fun, but also a bad friend shirt. That a boy. You look sexy.
Do I look cool?
Yeah, you do. And put that bad friend thing over. There you go. Now you look really cool. Fuck yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's us. It's me and Bobby talking closely to each other. We're like whispering at each other's mouths. Some people think we look like we're kissing, but no. None of the stuff that we've put out. Just whispering in each other's mouths. None of the shirts we have, that or even this one, people take them sexual. They're not. This is just two buds. That's all it is. Just two good buds.
People that take that sexual, they're homophobic.
Yeah, that's your thing, dude. This is just two friends hanging out in the ocean, so get over it.
Dude, thank you for
I gotta go. I love you. Thank you.
Hey, enjoy your wife.
I'm going
that sounds
to.
Weird.
No, enjoy your wife.
I'll try to enjoy mine.
Yeah, please enjoy your wife.
Bert and Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave. No scripts, a bit of booze, amateur partology. Dirty jokes, raunchy humor, no apologies. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.